Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves and rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision when he shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree. The Lord has said to me, you are my son. Today I have begotten you. Ask of me, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance, and the ends of the earth for your possession. You shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall dash them in pieces like a potter's vessel. Now, therefore, be wise, O kings. Be instructed, you judges of the earth. Serve the Lord with fear, and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way, when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. If you turn over to just that one verse then in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Well, look, if you have your Bibles this morning, turn to the last book of the Bible, turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 11. We looked at it a number of weeks ago, but one little verse from that chapter this morning. As we come here, we do want this to be a meaningful experience for each and every one. And our desire is simply this, that we would know more of the Lord Jesus Christ in our lives. To know him is to love him, and to know him is to be blessed by him. The more you know of him, the more blessed you will be in your life and in your experience. I know it's only simply stated, people don't agree with it, but look, Jesus is the answer to your every need, to your every need. And whatever you may be carrying here this day, the burdens that you've got, the difficulties in our lives, he is the answer to the big things in our experience, but not only in our lives. He is the answer to the big things in this world today, this world with all its problems, all the difficulties, with the wars, with global warming, with terrible injustices which are taking place, with hunger and the future of the humanity. Do you know that the answer is found in Jesus Christ? It's found in him because of this. The Bible tells us one day he's coming again. And when he comes, then he will reign and those things will be put right. And our thought over the last number of weeks has just been taking a little verse from John Newton's hymn, How Sweet the Name of Jesus Sounds. And we've simply gone through one stanza where he says, Jesus, my shepherd, my brother, friend, my prophet, priest, and today, my king, and a person who becomes a Christian is someone today who knows Jesus Christ, not just simply as some great miracle worker, not just simply as some kind of teacher, but you need to know Jesus Christ this day, even as one's king. The one who can come and deliver us. The one who can save us. The one who provides for us. To know him as the king. That was the question which was given to the apostle Peter one day by the Lord Jesus Christ. Who do men say that I am? And Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And when you come to know that, that he is the one that was chosen of God, the King of God, the Messiah, which was sent into the world. And he is the King, listen to this, that can deal, has the power, is able to reign, to quench everything that's against us. Sin, death, and the grave, and Hades, and all that would bring us down. He's the one who's able to reign. He reigns over the grave, reigns over the dead, being able to have defeated the devil, and he has that power. I know it was last year, I think it was, when Prince Charles was made King Charles. And then there were people who were on that street were saying, "Not my king." Well, if I don't get through this sermon today, let me just stop here and just say, if anybody doesn't know him as their king today, I would plead to you, even now, that you would come and that you would bow that knee to him. Because one day, as you read here, he is coming again. And that's what you read. There it is in verse 15. Then the seventh angel sounded, and there were loud voices in heaven saying, "The kingdom of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever." And when you read of this account, I won't go into all the background, but it's very simply, I'll just pick up a few of those truths. We have, as we are told, of things which are shortly to come to pass. It was there written for those Christians 2,000 years ago, things that they needed to know, which were happening, which were taking place, things which were to come. And it's very simple when you begin to read. It's like God's picture book. And he tells us that it will be to the ends of the earth, the gospel will go forth. He tells us and he assures us, to the end of the age, the gospel will go forth. He tells us there will be tragedies and there will be turmoil. There will be events which will take place. Judgments of God will come, trying to awaken the hearts of men and women. Then you find it there in chapter 9, at the very last little verse, "And they did not repent." And that was the condition. I want you to know that. The day is coming, and the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come one day. Everything which has been written in this book is taking place. And now you come to the seventh trumpet. And as we saw that when that gospel finally comes and the last of God's elect is gathered home, then there will be that time, short time, hard time. Then there will be that calling up to him. And then we find verse 14, "The second woe is past. Behold, the third woe is coming quickly. Then the last trump, the trumpet of the Lord shall sound. And he shall come. And when the trumpet of the Lord shall sound, and time shall be no more, and the eternal breaks bright and fair, and all on earth be gathered on the undershore." And so I want to just show you today, just for us to know that he is our King, that there are three things from this verse that perhaps will be of benefit to us. For those, first of all, who are Christians, because it was written to Christians, first of all. If you're not a Christian, it's a great warning. But if you are a Christian, it's a great comfort. In a world where people say that there is no hope, what hope do we have for the world? Well, read it here in verse 15. "And the seventh angel sounded, there were loud voices in heaven, saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord." And what a wonderful statement of fact that is. Although he's talking about the future, telling us of a day which is to come, he puts it in this very way, as only scripture can. It is like fate accomplished. Something has happened that now the kingdoms of this world have become. If you remember, just for an example, in the Old Testament, you find in Isaiah chapter 53, "He was bruised for our iniquities." It wasn't until 700 years after did the Lord Jesus Christ come to that very cross of Calvary. But when you read again of the very truth of this, he tells us now it is definitely so. These kingdoms of God will become the kingdoms of our Lord. And notice there in this version, it says kingdoms. In your versions, it may say kingdom. It's very simple because of this. We know that this world is made up of many kingdoms, but there is one king which reigns, is it not, over them. You find it there in Matthew chapter 4, verse 8. When Jesus was in the wilderness, and the devil took him up on an exceedingly high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and his glory, and said to him, if you were to fall down before me and the kingdoms of this world and the kingdom of what the prince and the power of this world. And so it is, but you need to know something has happened. Something drastic has taken place where Jesus Christ has come into this world, and you can be sure of this, that what happens in this world, the kingdoms and the power of the evil one, the kingdom of darkness, it will be no more. And it will be no more because of this, because Jesus Christ has come. God became incarnate. And the moment that God became incarnate and stepped into this world as a little babe, it was the day when the end began to be. And from that very moment, the only way I can describe it to you, just an illustration from Winston Churchill. He talks about what he was like in the first years of the World War II. We were losing. We were in a bad place. But it came that very moment, Dunkirk had happened, pushed back to Alamein. But when that phone call came that the Americans had entered the war, he said, that night I slept soundly for the first time, because they'd entered in. And now you know God entered into this world. And as he entered into this world, those kingdoms are definitely his. And not only that, the Lord Jesus even says this. Now is the time of the judgment of the prince and the power of this world. Speaking not only of his coming, but of his death at Calvary. And on that death of Calvary, we died for our sins. That fatal blow was taken. And you know yourself, you've come to that place, have you not? Have you ever watched some kind of football match or a rugby match, and a decisive moment takes place? You know it's all over. They have to play the 80 minutes or 90 minutes. Or perhaps you've been watching the snooker, and what happens is this. They finds that ball, the winning ball has taken place, and all the snooker player does, he comes, and you know it's over, but he goes around the table, and he finishes it, and he sweeps it up. That's what you've got here. He says, now you need to know that these kingdoms belong, and the kingdom of this world belongs and will become the kingdom of our Lord. That's the hope. The hope that you've got for this world with Russia and China and these great dictators and the unrest in Gaza and in Palestine. You're wonderful in the world of injustice and killing and all that it is. Do you realize the kingdom of Jesus Christ will come? And what a kingdom that is. It's a kingdom with a knowledge of God will cover this world as the waters cover the sea. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of justice and of joy and of peace. The kingdom of God is hard for us to understand, but he tells us on that day when that kingdom comes, it will be that in the wilderness will blossom with flower. And the places of this world which are barren, the desert places which you see, the whole world will be fruitful at his kingdom. And this kingdom which we have, do you know what he tells us? That there will be a time, it's hard to imagine, there will be no more wars. There will be harmony amongst nations. And in that day, he says, that those who've got swords will turn them into plowshares. I remember going to Prague a number of years ago, And I was taken on that kind of bus tour. And there on the hill, there was this great figure of this statue. It was one of their kings who had led them into victory. And what he had done was this. He had trained those farmers to take their spades and their pruning hooks and their wagons and changed it into weapons. But Jesus got another kingdom. His kingdom says no. Those tanks and those planes and those bombs and those rifles and those cannons, they'll be turned into all that's good. There's a kingdom which is coming, which is totally, utterly different. Jesus shall reign wherever the sun doth his successive journeys run, his kingdom stretch from shore to shore, till moon shall wax and wane no more. Good, isn't it? You need to know that. Everybody needs to know that. You need to know the hope that this world has got. It's the only hope, is Jesus Christ. The kingdom of this world, with all its darkness and killing and powers, has now become the kingdoms of our Lord. Secondly, you need to know something else about this wonderful king that we have, is that this king, the Lord Jesus Christ, is his king. You read it there. Of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and forever. And the second thing that you find is that, and it is good to know, because what you are being told now, it's actually a fulfillment of the prophecy which I read to you in Psalm 2. Psalm 2 begins the book of Psalms of the Messiah's triumph of his kingdom. And what we're told here from the very first, that there is the Lord, there is God, and he has his own anointed. Verse 2, against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, you find it again in verse 6, I set my king on my holy hill of Zion. I will declare the decree the Lord has said to me, you are my son. And I want to show you now, just for a moment, that the Lord Jesus Christ is his king. That is, he is the one which God himself has set apart in this world for that reign and for that rule that will one day be. I want to emphasize it. We had a little children's chorus, Joy is the flag which I raise for the castle of my heart, because the king is in residence here. Well, yes, I'm thankful he is in residence here, and I'm thankful he is my king. And you could say, well, that's very good, Chris. He's your king. He's not my king, but you need to listen to this. He's his king. He's his king. And because he's his king, you need to really take some stock. And you need to really consider it. Because God has won, which he has sent into this world, and he belongs to him. It is so important to understand that. That there comes the day that you come to know him and you recognize him as the king. When the Lord Jesus Christ came into this world, he was born a king. He was born, and they came and they said, where is he who's born king of the Jews? But he was unrecognized. He was hidden. He was hidden. And people didn't see him or know that he was born. Some came from the east. When the Lord Jesus Christ was baptized, he was anointed king by his heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit came upon him and said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. When Jesus lived on this earth, there were those who came and wanted to make him king. And he withdrew for them because he said, I've come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He hadn't come now for the whole nation, so to speak. And they wanted to make him king, and he knew it wasn't his time. When the Lord Jesus died at Calvary, you know that there was an inscription which was placed over his head. The inscription was this: Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews. Through all his life, he was acknowledged as a king. And when he died, and when he was placed into that grave, you can read, do you not? I think it's there in Romans chapter 1, that he was declared to be the Son of David, the Son of God, with great power. And God, you see, said, this is my anointed son. And he was risen up again. And then he was taken, even then, into glory. And he is seated at God's right hand. And he reigns. He is the King of heaven. But one day, he is coming. And he is going to reign over this world. You need to know that he is the one that God has set on his holy hill of Zion. There's going to be a change of government. And whatever you may think, you need to know that God has set him apart for this wonderful work. Now, I'm told, I've been following the news, and I'm sure you're up with it, that this year we've got, it's a year of elections. It's a year of elections in America, and there's a year of elections in this country. And what they're saying is this, that because now of the way things are, there's going to be a sea change of government. And what happens is that affects the way that people vote. That what people want to do is that they always want to vote for the incoming government. Well, there's an incoming government coming. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. And God has set him there. And when they come to this very place, they say, and what they do is they bring up the stars and the celebrities to try and entice you to vote for various parties. And then so-and-so is definitely of this candidate, and so-and-so is for this candidate. Well, if you want to know, God is for his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is his Christ. He is the one that God said is going to rule and govern this world. And he has set him on high and set it in high places. He belongs to God. There's something else you need to know about this verse. You need to know whether you belong to him this day. And really now, because we're being told something very significant here, in verse 15, it tells us, and the seventh angel sounded. And there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of the Lord. When it says now that the seventh angel sounded, it's because we've been following that from chapter 8, there have been a number of trumpet blasts. There have been six trumpets which have blown. Those six trumpets have definitely blown. We're only waiting for the seventh trumpet. And when you read chapter 11, as the gospel goes forth, the day hastens very quickly. The Bible tells us that Christ will come. He will come once again in glory and in power. And when he comes, he will come, as we will read, he will be King of Kings, Lord of Lords. And it comes a moment that it will be the blast of the trumpet of the archangel. And he'll come through the clouds. He'll come in a moment. And it's there. And it's very close. And if you only knew that today, that archangel has his trumpet in his hands, ready to blow for that final return. And I just want to show you that when we speak of this coming of the King of Kings, you find it in chapter 19. And there it is in verse 14. Or I opened, the white horse came, verse 11. And he was clothed and he dripped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And then you find these words. And out of his mouth a sharp sword, and he would strike the nations. But he himself will rule over them. Look at that in verse 15, chapter 19, with a rod of iron. He himself treads the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of the Almighty. And he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, I read that verse to you because of this. In the prophecy which you read in Psalm 2, and you find there of this very day, I'm just going to say to you, here it is. Why do the nations rage and the people plot a vain thing? You find here that he has set his king up on his holy hill of Zion. And this psalm tells us in verse 9, and he tells us this in verse 8, and I will give you the nations for your inheritance and the ends of the earth for your possession. Mark it down, because I know I've been to many a missionary meeting where they've taken that verse and they've taught us and told us that the nations of this world will become the nations of God. That's true. And they've told us that when we go out to preach, that's true. Men and women are giving their lives to Jesus Christ today. There are people who are coming towards him and giving their hearts to him. But I need you to know, in Psalm 2, what he's saying is this: I give you the nations and you shall break them with the rod of iron. When he comes once again, the nations will be his, and all that's wrong and not right, he will put right. He's coming on that day. And that's why Psalm 2 tells you, kiss the Son, lest he be angry, and you perish in the way. When his wrath is kindled but a little, blessed are all those who trust in him. And so he says, the seventh trumpet is about to blow. The second woe is past. Behold, the woe comes quickly. And that great call of the psalmist and of God today, he tells people the day is coming when those nations which have raged against the claims of Christ and the knowledge of Christ and the things of his laws and his person, look, one day, don't you realize, can't you see it? Jesus Christ, anointed of God, begotten of him, raised from the dead, honored and glorified. One day he's coming, and you need to be right with him. And he pleads with you, and I plead with you today. Kiss the Son. Be reconciled to him. Because the day's coming. His wrath is only now kindled but a little. But on that day, it's the day of his wrath. Revelation chapter 6 tells us, on that day, the great men, the mighty men, they'll all come. It's the wrath of the Lamb of God. That day, that wrath in all its fullness comes. But you can come to him today. His wrath is only kindled but a little. You've all followed the news with Putin. And one of his opponents has been assassinated or killed in the gulag there in Siberia. The commentator said this. He said, what Putin wants from everyone is this, is that we would bow down and kiss his feet. And he does it with all his might and cruelty and oppression. God doesn't do that with you. What he does is this: there's a day which we live in called the day of grace. This is not the day of his wrath. It's the day of his great love. It's the day of his mercy. It's the day of his gospel. It's the day where this message goes forth. And he wants people to come to him and to make reconciliation with him, to be at peace with him, to kiss the Son. And you must do it now. You must do it in the way. You must do it while you got time, because the time is very short. But such is the grace of God, and such is the grace of his love, that he wants even those which have raged against him and been opposed to him. He says, look, there are definite terms by which you can know of peace even today. The wonderful gospel of his precious blood, which has made peace between us and God, and on those terms, you can come to him. Look, there were many who came to Jesus when he was on this earth, and they kissed him. The woman who was lost in her sins kissed his feet. You want to do that, don't you? Of course you do. Day will come. We'll kiss the pierced feet. We'll kiss those feet and say, Lord, we are your people, and we pledge allegiance unto you. You want to kiss him because of this, do you not, today? Because you love him. You love him. You're reconciled, and you want to show your affections even unto him. I want you to love this great king, which he has come, and that you could do that even this day. He says, look, you need to do it. The seventh trumpet does sound. These nations belong to the Lord. It's a universal kingdom. He belongs to God. It's God's kingdom. And if you read these verses, it will be forever and forever. That's the big mistake that people make. They set up their kingdoms, they never last, because it's always without God. And everything you talk on the news, it's without God. We solve everything. God's not even mentioned. But this one is of God, and he reigns forever and forever. And that you then belong to him.